You know what? Just yell it. Just yell it.
Yeah! Mickey Mutineers! Welcome to Swamp Scallywags and Sons of Adventures to this Wibbly Wobbly bonus Avengers Infinity War spoiler episode disaster episode. Oh, damn it. I didn't work it in the way I had planned. See what happens when you make me fly by the seat of my pants?
I think you're flying by the seat of Dimitri's pants. He's the one that wrote out all those notes.
Well, see, this is what happens. Like, usually I write the notes for him, but now I'm doing it. He's not here, so I was like, Dimitri, give me the notes. And he's like, I never saw a movie. And I was like, Dimitri, that's not at all what you sound like.
that's fair.
Yeah.
Should I tweet out the link?
Probably not.
No? Okay, so well, we just...
Tweet... I mean, should I was going to say because it's a spoiler episode.
Yeah.
But I think if you put in the tweet that it is a spoiler episode, and I should tell that to the listener right now, listening to the recorded version, that, hey, this is a spoiler episode of Avengers Infinity War. If you haven't seen it, what the hell?
Yeah, it's been 5 days.
Like, yeah, why don't you just pause this right now? No, wait for the rest of the instructions.
Yep.
Jake, get out of here! Go on, get!
Well, did somebody use the time stone to do that?
I've come to bargain.
Dormammu.
I can never remember his name. Good thing we're not talking about that movie, huh?
Yeah.
I only saw Doctor Strange once, and I kind of regret only seeing it once. I need to see it more.
Saw it once in the theater, and then I saw it when I bought it on Blu-ray. So I don't know if I mentioned this on our regular show, but my buddy Tim has not seen any of the Marvel films.
I've been keeping track of your escapade with him.
So he had seen bits and pieces of one of the Iron Man movies, and one night we were hanging... Oh, I take it back. About a year ago, we watched Ant-Man, and the only reason he wanted to watch Ant-Man is because he really likes Paul Rudd. And so we watched that, and he liked it. But then earlier this year, we were hanging out one night. He's like, you know, I've never seen any of those. And I was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do one a week until we're done. And then by the time we're done, there's a good chance that Black Panther or even Infinity War will be out on Blu-ray and DVD. So we can kind of just run through all of them once a week. And we are now up to... We just watched Iron Man 3, so we're about to watch Iron Man 4. And we, I made like a list.
Wait, oh, there is no Iron Man 4.
Wait, yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, wait, have you not seen Iron Man 4? You saw Infinity War without seeing Iron Man 4?
I didn't know.
What the hell, Jake?
I need to catch up.
I meant Thor 2 is what I meant. So that's what
I can see where you get confused with those.
Yeah, Thor 4. Fair enough. Hold on. I'm tweeting the link.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll stall.
You're flooding your engine, man.
I'm sorry. I'm stalled.
It's not working. Yeah, hold on. It's not working. It's taking forever to load.
For hell's sakes.
Yeah. No, you had it right.
I'll reiterate this again while I'm trying to turn this thing over. This is a spoiler episode. We're not holding back on this, guys. Infinity War is out. Watch it before you listen to this. Or if you don't care about spoilers, then listen to this and see where we went wrong in our very critical response to this garbage movie that we just saw. Oh, wait, no, we saw Infinity War.
Man, I read an article that was practically calling it a garbage movie.
I don't understand.
Should we start with that? Like, is that the first thing you want to talk about?
Yeah, let's start with the article, because I have a few things to say about that already. I don't know the article, but I'm going to critique.
All right, in the interest of fairness, I read half of the article. One reason, because I was at work and it started to get busy. But two, I started to feel that like all of his problems with, or the author of this article, I don't know their name. All of the person's problems with the film were all like things you should have known going into the film. Like, does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, so one of his issues was the fact that there was too many people in the cast. It was like there were so many people in the cast. Like, it was hard to follow because there were a lot of people. I'm like, no, however dense the movie was, like, I felt it was pretty easy to follow.
Yeah.
Despite having, 20 plus people, 20 plus characters. But the main argument, and I don't understand this. The main argument was that it's a bad movie because the movie doesn't stand on its own, and you had to watch all, if not a large number, of the 18 Marvel films leading up to it. To which I like that's the whole point of Infinity War. Like, literally every main Marvel, like, you could probably, skip one or two of them here and there, but the majority of them are like main plot points and like this overarching Marvel Universe story that they're telling with the Infinity Stones. So going in, like, I knew that this movie was the first part of a culmination of these 18 other films. So I don't understand how you can be mad at the movie for being exactly what it was supposed to be.
That was exactly my critique. Right there, what you just said.
Right. Like, that's like saying, man, I really just want to read the sixth Harry Potter book and not read the first five.
Right.
Like, I have no context as to what, like, I should just pick up the fifth. No, there have been four other books setting up what, or five other books setting up what the sixth one is supposed to be. It's the same thing with these films. Like, each one sets up the next one and adds context to the greater overarching story of the Infinity Stones.
Right.
So I don't understand how this person is saying it's a bad movie because the movie was exactly what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, like, and successfully too.
I agree.
And not only that, like, the timing of it. This is a culmination of, like what you said, of all these movies, but also over 10 years of time. Like, This is a culmination of a decade of movies. This guy had time to watch these.
May of 2008 was when Iron Man came out.
Yes. And the little after credit scene of that movie is what set all of this off.
Right.
We had no idea.
No.
I had no idea.
And like, also, like, I just don't. I had to stop reading after the main comment was that it was a culmination of all these other films, and then like his other arguments are really like, there's too many people in the cast. I'm like, well, there have been a lot of movies. Like, have you? I feel like this, like, the guy writes the article as somebody who was sideswiped into only seeing Infinity War, which I know isn't the case. Like, if you have two eyes and two ears, you know that there are all these other Marvel films because they're probably some of the biggest box office hits of the last decade. I just don't understand this misplaced anger for Infinity War being the movie it was.
Exactly the movie that it was. Like,
I can understand if somebody busted out some stupid dialogue like, we're going to be fighting this war for infinity. Or like, right?
But they didn't.
Right.
Wait, hold on, time out. We have two viewers. Guys, spoilers on Infinity War right now, in case you just popped
in. All of the spoilers. I put it in the link, I think.
I don't know who.
Oh, you know what? You know what? I think Ryan might be watching because he liked the tweet. So Ryan, if you're watching, hey, I hope Taylor feels better. No, his wife just had surgery. Shout out to Taylor. Hope you feel better. Anyway, what are your thoughts on this article that I only half read?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you only half read it because it sounds like. Like, I just hate when a movie gets knocked down a peg for being exactly what it set out to be and doing it very well. Like, I don't know how the Russo brothers do it. I mean, they got their start with in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they did Winter Soldier, right?
They did Winter Soldier, which is still to this day my favorite Marvel film, I think.
It's really good.
Yeah. The reason I like Winter Soldier so much is I like the idea that with the exception of like a few minor rewriting parts, like you could just take Steve Rogers out of that movie and put any guy in and it's practically the same movie. Like you'd have to rewrite stuff for the Super Soldier, whatever. But that aside, it's just a political thriller.
Well, and along those lines, I feel like that's what made The Dark Knight so good, is it didn't really have to be a Batman movie.
Right, right.
It was just a really good crime movie, and that's right. Winter Soldier. It's a really good spy thriller movie.
I wonder if... Hey, Ryan, if you're listening, you want to join in on the podcast? Send me a text.
But anyway, the Russo brothers, Winter Soldier.
They did TV before. Like, didn't they do a bunch of Community episodes?
They did Community and Arrested Development. And which Arrested Development that has a cameo in Infinity.
Right, War. Right. Which I actually have one of my talking points was Easter eggs, because Danny Pudi, Steve. From The Day of Steve is watching. Shout out to The Day of Steve.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve! That's his catchphrase.
It is. I've heard him say it a couple times. Because Danny Pudi was a cameo in Winter Soldier. And then the staircase. Yeah, that's it. The stair car makes an appearance in Civil War. Right. And this one we had
Blue Tobias.
Yeah.
Which
was wow. Was it the blue never nude Tobias?
I
couldn't tell.
I can't tell either, because the way I was maybe we should come back to Easter eggs. Maybe we should jump into the movie first.
Okay, fair enough. So I guess the first talking point I have is like, man, this was a dense movie. Like, there was a lot of everything in this movie.
And it started immediately.
Yeah. And, man, I felt exhausted after watching this. But, like in a good way. Like, I was just like, man, I need to lay down.
Well, yeah.
Like, literally all of the things just happened in this movie.
And, like, everything that just happened, like, when it was over and you had to lay down, you're just like, wait. It's only halfway over.
Right. since it's dense, I guess it kind of leads me to my next talking point and which was also one of the complaints in from this article I read was do you think it had too many characters? Like, were you able to not follow the plot because of all the characters? Because there was 19 or 18 movies worth of characters that all popped in one.
Like were you asking me personally?
Yes.
No, not only was I found it very easy to follow all the characters, I felt like every single character like got their respectable amount of screen time too. Like it was very balanced, easy to follow. We got all the characters and we got time with all the characters. That was a concern I had going in. Was how do we get all these characters?
Right.
I mean, like, some of the minor characters only had minor parts, but they're minor characters, so it makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. Falcon and aforementioned Winter Soldier. Like, they weren't in it much, but they were there. They got...
Right. I mean, they accomplished what they needed to do, I think. I thought everything was well-balanced, personally. Probably could have used a little bit more Winter Soldier, but... Again, like, I don't really know what else he could have done because everybody else was doing all the other things.
Yeah.
He
was in Wakanda and he went and fought in the battle. Like, good job, buddy.
Makes sense to me. And I guess that kind of leads into, let's just talk about Thanos. Like, just like this, he was the main character of the movie. Like, this was a Thanos movie. Everybody else played second fiddle.
Yeah.
To this dude.
And the movie even recognized that in the credits. Like, did you notice that at the end? Like, usually at the end of these movies, they're like, Thor will return, or Iron Man will return.
Right.
This one says Thanos will return.
Right.
at the end of the credits. You're right. It was definitely his movie, and they know it. Good hell, he was amazing.
Yeah, he was really good. I will say only because I knew that Josh Brolin was playing him. Like, I kept just hearing Josh Brolin and not like, like Thanos would talk. And I'm like, dude from the Goonies? So, but like, it didn't take me out of the movie or anything. Like, I mean, like, what am I expecting him to sound like? Right. Like, is he supposed to have some kind of fancy voice? He's not.
I mean, you say that, but the other two voice actors in this movie were unrecognizable. Like, Groot sounded nothing like Vin Diesel, even though it was Vin Diesel.
True.
I've never thought Rocket sounded like Bradley Cooper. I think Bradley Cooper does an amazing voice for Rocket.
See, I actually do hear Bradley Cooper in it. But, like, I just like to imagine Bradley Cooper in the studio just, like, doing this over-the-top Rocket Raccoon voice and him trying to act out Rocket Raccoon.
I want a video of that.
Meanwhile, he's on in all of these, like, Oscar-nominated films with Jennifer Lawrence. I say all, it's just the one. But
wasn't it more than... No, he wasn't in American Hustle, was he? Was he?
Was he? I don't know.
I liked American Hustle. No, I don't think... No. It was Jeremy Renner.
No, okay.
Not in this movie.
Right. And, whoa, man, that's actually a really good segue. Because he wasn't in this movie, I kind of have an idea that the next film will introduce some form of West Coast Avengers. Actually, you know what? Let's save that because let's save that for a little bit
later. Okay. That is one of my talking points.
We'll do a little bit after that. Do you want to talk about the surprise character?
Which one was the surprise character?
Red Skull.
Oh, yes.
Holy shit. Like, wasn't expecting that. That came out of nowhere.
Well, what I really loved about that, I was going to say this earlier, was like, because we were talking about Winter Soldier and Civil War, about how like the Captain America movies like are really important movies for setting things up.
Mm-hmm.
Come to find out, the very first Captain America movie was also really important for setting this up. We just didn't know it for like 7 years.
Right.
Because at the end of that movie, Red Skull gets blasted into the Tesseract, and who knows where he went? Now we know where he went!
Exactly.
Like, when he showed up, I was like, there he is!
Right. I was, like, super surprised. Like, I was actually shocked and stunned.
Like, at first, when it came out, I was like, wow, they're really introducing death into this?
Right. I thought that, too.
But then, was it, like, supposed to be... Because they do a lot of character swapping from the comics, so I don't know if you...
I've actually not read, I take it back. I have read Infinity Gauntlet, but I think I read it in like 94.
I haven't read any of them, but I've read up on them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So Thanos has this thing with death, which I thought was going to be Thor's sister from Ragnarok. I thought she was going to be like, because she was the goddess of death.
Right, right.
So I thought she was going to step into that role, but she didn't.
If I remember correctly, also Adam Warlock played a big part in the Infinity Gauntlet, and we haven't been introduced to Adam Warlock yet, which I guess in an interview, the Russo brothers said that they purposefully left him out of this movie because that's what they're going to do for Guardians.
Yeah,
Guardians Volume 3.
He was hinting he at. Was,
right, because that was like the after credits scene of Guardians 2.
Yeah, like the seventh after credits.
Yeah, scene. Right. Yeah, I was really happy that Red Skull, but it wasn't Hugo Weaving, which fair enough. Like he wasn't really happy that he was Red Skull to begin with.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, like I think they said something. There was an interview with him years ago where. I guess they asked, you know, would you ever consider returning on to be Red Skull? And he said something along the lines of, They know better than to ask me back or something like that. Just, they know better than to ask somebody who doesn't want to be here back. Or it was something, I'm paraphrasing, and I'm probably even paraphrasing incorrectly, but it was something along the lines of like, that's a hard no for him. But whoever they got to, I didn't read his name in the credits, but whoever they got to play Red Skull in Infinity War, I thought did a really good job. Did a really good job that I didn't realize it wasn't Hugo Weaving.
Yeah. Like, I read later that it wasn't. While I was watching it, I thought it was. I was like, hey, there you go.
Right.
So that's how good of a job he did.
Right. There's really nothing as far as like Captain versus Iron Man, because they didn't cross paths the entire film.
No, they almost did with the phone call, but then how did that get interrupted?
Oh, the aliens started to attack New York, and Iron Man left Strange's
Sanctum Sanctorum.
The Sanctum Sanctorum, and that's confronted them.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Because
remember, Banner gets the phone, and I think Banner calls him.
Yeah.
Which, can we talk about that phone for a second? What the hell's Iron Man doing with the flip phone?
He even commented on that.
Did he?
Because, yeah, he was like, he picked it up as like, flip phone. What is this? Because at the end of Civil War, Steve Rogers left him the phone.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It wasn't.
That's right.
It wasn't Stark's choice.
Right.
Backing up just real quick into that, though.
Okay.
Speaking of Hulk in the Sanctum Sanctorum, in the comics, we were just talking about all the character swapping they had done.
Right.
In the comics, that exact scene happened where a character blasted into the Sanctum Sanctorum to warn him that, hey, Thanos is coming. But in the comics, it was Silver Surfer.
Yeah, but Silver Surfer is a Fox property.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was a nice little twist having Heimdall?
Yeah.
Send Banner there to warn them.
So I know that there are a lot of purists out there that are really sticklers for the movie being just like the comic. I'm not one of them. Only because, one, I could just read the comic. Right. Two, if you can offer me something different, because not everything in the comic book can translate well to the screen. Like, obviously some things are going to need to be changed.
Right.
Especially for a comic written 25 years ago, 24 years ago. It was like 91. So 27.
Seven. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we're going on 3 decades of Infinity Gauntlet, right?
Yeah.
So I don't mind when they take liberties and change things about certain characters or when certain characters do certain things. One, it's fresh and new, but also I'm more under the impression that like, if you can make the story that you're trying to tell me make sense in the format you're trying to, like, as long as everything makes sense within the story, then I'm on board. You can change whatever you want, but as long as it makes sense within the story you're trying to portray to me,
right,
then fine. So, like those kind of changes I'm okay with.
And they're like, we should have seen that coming by now, because they pulled a lot of those with Civil War.
Right. Well, I mean, you could also say the same thing, like when Age of Ultron came out and they introduced Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, because technically in the comics, they're mutants because they're the children of Magneto.
Right.
And you can't even say the word mutant in a Marvel Cinematic Universe film.
Yeah, so, I just watched Age of Ultron. They called them something else.
Didn't they just call them the twins?
No, they had a word for like the advanced Earth. What was it? Watched it like last week.
Anyway, I guess it doesn't matter. But the point is, they made it make sense within the context of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and like stuff like that, I'm okay with. So.
Yeah.
So the fact that like it was Hulk instead of Silver Surfer, or you know, this character said this instead of that, then like I'm fine with tweaks like that.
Yeah, it worked.
Right.
It worked just fine. So real quick, speaking of the Hulk. Oh, where were you going?
No, no, go ahead. No, I was actually going to change the subject, but you go ahead.
Oh,
no,
this is a very nice segue into what I was going to say. The writing of this movie, it seemed like very, like, everything was, how do I want to put this? Everything was, like, believable within the confines of the movie. Like, everything happened for a reason, seemingly, but, like, you didn't really have to suspend much disbelief. For instance, right. Like the Hulk not coming out of a banner for the movie. Like,
because mm-hmm.
you can't just always rely on the Hulk. Like,
right. Well, I also think the Hulk was embarrassed that Thanos beat him up.
Right. That's what I was going to say. Like, that was a good writing aspect because, like, yeah, the Hulk himself, he just got the shit kicked out of him. And he didn't want to come back out. He's like a scared child or something.
Right.
And so, like, that's how the writers were like, okay, we need to not rely on the Hulk. How? And they're like, have Thanos, you know, overpower him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a few things like that where, and another example that really caught my attention was, like, when Peter Quill met Tony Stark, like, how do we convey that Quill is from Earth? And they pulled that whole Jesus line.
Oh, yeah, Stark
was
like,
who do you call my master? And Quill was like, what do you want me to say, Jesus? And Stark was like, wait.
Right.
That's an Earth thing.
Right.
Like, I just thought little things like that. It was really good in the writing. It was very simple to follow and believable. Just, yeah.
I feel so like there's... I can't remember. Like, I'm sure somebody who's listening to this right now can correct me if I'm wrong or just tell me what I don't know. But I do know. And I know we just talked about, like, well, if they don't do stuff different from the comics, then I'm okay. But obviously that's the source material that they're all pulling from. Wasn't there something in the comics? Cause I was never a big reader of the Incredible Hulk growing up, but wasn't there something about the different colored, like, there was Gray Hulk, there was Green Hulk, and I know Red Hulk was somebody completely different. Like, I don't think Bruce Banner was the Red Hulk.
No, I'm pretty sure Red Hulk was General Thunderbolt Ross.
Yes, yes, I think you're correct. But wasn't there, like, something, like, they started to make, like, the Gray Hulk have different characteristics than the Green Hulk?
Am
I just making that up? I could have sworn that was a thing.
I know originally Hulk himself was gray.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if... I'm kind of in the same thing as you. I don't really know much about the Hulk.
Right. I should probably have looked that up before we even started talking about it. But I could have sworn at one point they made it like a plot point where the different colored Hulks, like, had different... I don't want to say different attributes, but, like, acted certain. Like, one was meaner or one was more calm. I mean, as calm as a Hulk can get. I guess, yeah. which shout out to Loki for finally getting to use the line, we have a Hulk, and then Hulk just coming in and smashing into Thanos.
Yeah. Didn't do him very good, though, for very long.
No.
For either of them, really.
Yeah, for either of them. So do you think, I guess this is kind of segue into deaths, but, hold on, let me talk about the my Hulk thing. Like, I wonder if, like, whenever they do, when the Hulk finally does come back out, like, if it's going to be a different color Hulk. Like, I wonder if he's just going to just stew in his rage inside Banner's, you know, inside Banner for however long, that when he comes out, he's just going to be, like, in the worst absolute mood in the galaxy.
Let's put a pin in that, because at the very end, I want to do the what do we think will happen?
Okay, yeah, that's one of my talking points, too.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, so Loki was gone within 5 minutes of the film.
Yes. Very tragically, too.
Which, the Tom Hiddleston fangirls in my theater moaned about for a minute.
They had a rough rest of the movie then.
yeah, I know. So do you think he's really dead? Cause obviously Loki is, you know, the god of mischief. There are two reasons why I don't think he's dead. Like, if he stays dead, I'm more than okay with it. because again, it's the story that you're telling me, and I'm all right. Like, I'm all right with it. But I guess if they wanted to write, you know, I feel like they wrote a couple loopholes for him just in case. One, he's the god of mischief, and is Loki ever really anywhere, anytime ever really? And two, I mean, they do have the, you know, this movie is about the Infinity Stones, and theoretically, I mean, not theoretically, but they can bring people back from the dead.
Well, they did it in this movie.
Right, exactly.
I had to watch Vision die twice.
Exactly. So, but that was with the Time Stone. Like, isn't there like a, I guess I probably should have like boned up on what each stone does. I kind of failed on that. But I do know the time.
The movie stones, I don't know how or why, or not why, but I don't know how exactly, but they do differ from the comic stones.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I feel like you can read up on it all you want, but...
Yeah, that's my fault. I probably should have read up a little bit about that before we started this. But we don't prepare for podcasts, so, I mean, this is just par for the course.
But also, we're going off the movie Universe Stones, and the audience just doesn't know yet. So,
right.
We're right there with everyone else.
Right. Were you surprised with... All right, so Loki, let's for... And, you know, for the sake of this podcast... Yeah, I think he's done. Like, I kind of think he's dead.
I feel like he's dead, and here's why. Just real quick, in Ragnarok, you know, he did his whole projection thing quite a few times in that movie,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of a running gag of Thor throwing things at him,
right?
And so, if he was a projection, I don't think Thanos could have grabbed him by the neck and killed him.
No, you're right, but I also, you know, I guess he doesn't have to be a projection, right? Like, he could be, I don't know, maybe he's projecting himself onto somebody else. I don't know. I feel like there are a couple loopholes where if they decided to bring him back, I mean, I guess we'll find out in a year or two. I don't know when Avengers 4 comes out.
Yeah.
But
no, next year, they filmed him back to back.
Did they?
Yeah. I read up on that right before we started. Principal photography for the second one finished in January 2018, but it started at the same time as this one.
Okay. All right. Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they pulled a marathon on this one.
I mean, good for them. But I don't know. Yeah, I kind of think Loki's dead. And if he's dead, then I'm okay with it. Like, it's like, I'm fine. I am not shooketh, as the kids would say. But as far as, like, everybody towards the end of the movie, like, once, all right, Thanos has all of the Infinity Stones, and you think, like, at the last minute they stopped him, he snaps his fingers, and half of existence just, you know, dissolves.
Yeah.
So were you surprised at any of the people they decided to keep versus who dissolved?
Yeah, I was super surprised. My biggest surprise was... that Rocket was the only Guardian of the Galaxy that survived.
Yep. Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised at that too.
I was just like, well, wow.
I was also kind of surprised that Black Panther was one of them.
Oh, that's right. He was, wasn't he?
Right. But I also think that, you know, obviously, Black Panther was a huge hit. And I think... the Russos knew going into filming Infinity War that Black Panther was going to be a huge hit. And obviously, you know, Black Panther just came out 2 months ago. So it's still fresh in everyone's head. So he's still kind of riding this hype train of Black Panther. So when you see what is essentially the most popular or currently popular character in a show get taken out, then your emotions run a lot higher. This is why I've been saying for the last 5 years in The Walking Dead that Daryl needs to die. So, and every time I say that on Twitter, all of the Daryl fans just come out like, no, you shut up. I'll stop watching. Shut up. No, you won't stop watching. You're going to watch him die, and you're going to watch the next episode after that. But that's kind of like the point. Like, obviously... people probably have a little bit more of an emotional connection because Black Panther just came out and the movie was really good, but he was also like a really good character. So the fact that it's fresh, I think makes I don't want to say like puts the stakes higher, but like it makes your emotions run higher because somebody that's so loved was taken out at the snap of a finger.
I felt that same exact way about Spider-Man.
Right.
He got taken out too. Like there's the whole, hey, we got Spider-Man back and he's in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And his death, I guess, yeah, let's just call it death for ease of reference, was like the most tragic one. That one got me choked up. Him like hugging Tony Stark saying he doesn't want to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that was almost like David Tennant in that episode of Doctor Who whenever he had to leave.
Yeah, that's exactly what it reminded me of.
Yeah. I can't remember. Did Scarlet Witch survive or did she fade away?
She faded away.
She faded away?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's so weird.
We have Black Widow.
It's basically the original Avengers.
Black Widow, no, Falcon.
And a few others.
And Captain America. We don't know if Hawkeye has survived or not.
Yeah. Thor.
Who else? There's somebody else. Yeah, Thor.
Iron Man.
Sticking around. I am Rocket. I'm trying to remember. God, I mean, there's just so many people in the cast. I can't remember them all.
So hard to follow.
Yeah.
What was funny about that, while you think about who else there was, like there was a brief sense of relief, like, oh, good, Tony Stark survived. But then you're like, oh, shit, he's on a whole other planet. He's on Titan.
Right. Right. Well, I'm pretty sure Nebula is going to give him a ride to Earth, however long that may take.
Yeah. Like the sense of relief didn't last very long at all.
Right. So kind of like I was saying earlier, and I cut myself off. So after everyone who's dead, like there's a handful of people who are still alive. And I think if I'm not mistaken, a lot of these people were in the West Coast Avengers at some point in time. Like it's led by Hawkeye.
I feel like I need to look this up right now while you talk.
So I know that it was led by Hawkeye, and I feel like Falcon might have been. I'll wait for you to look it up. And I think at some point in time, maybe Captain Marvel, because I could have sworn that she was in the West Coast Avengers. There's probably a lot of people listening to this podcast who read the comic books who are yelling at me. They're yelling at their radio. I can't hear you guys.
Okay, so just going through Wikipedia real quick. It just says the team is founded by the Avenger Hawkeye.
Okay.
In response to a suggestion by the Vision, who at the time wishes. Okay, so right. Hawkeye recruits.
Vision didn't dissolve though. Like his carcass was just kind of hanging out.
Yeah,
so we essentially have a Vision who could essentially be, I guess, turned back on.
Yeah, which I feel like they're going to. I feel like that's what Shuri was doing. Like, did she download his memory or?
Possibly. I mean, I'm sure she probably did.
Because it looked like she finished something at the end, and I thought she was trying to get the stone out of his head, but obviously she did not get the stone out of his head.
Right.
So I feel like he got downloaded or whatever the equivalent of that is in Wakanda. So
I'm pretty sure it's download there as well.
We got Wasp, Scarlet Witch, Vision.
Okay. So Wasp, we didn't hear from Ant-Man or Wasp in this movie, but Wasp is one of the characters. So we also don't know when in the timeline Ant-Man and Wasp falls.
Right.
So I'm kind of hoping that halfway through that movie, just half the people on screen dissolve. Like, wouldn't that be really cool?
That would be awesome. Or even like if that's the end credits scene or something, but I want it to like have a very, this is the moment tie-in. Like, so you go, oh, that's when this takes place.
Right. I think that would be really cool. So Vision, Hawkeye, Wasp. I know Wonder Man, I think, was in, but we don't have a screen representation of Wonder Man.
There was quite a few that, like, Wonder Man, Tigra, Tigra, Mockingbird.
So I think this is also maybe one of those situations where it's not going to exactly be like the comics 100%. I feel like whoever's remaining will probably end up. I mean, obviously, Captain America. Something's going to happen to Captain America, because you're not going to start having Captain America take orders from Hawkeye, right?
Yeah.
So I think like Captain America's side. I think there's a good chance we might see some form or fashion of West Coast Avengers in this next Avengers film. And the next we get, does Captain Marvel come out before or after?
Yeah, before. So
before.
The only two Marvel movies coming out before the next Avengers is Ant-Man and Captain Marvel. That's all we get.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is really weird, because at one point in time we were getting an Inhumans movie, and then that was axed.
Didn't they turn that into a horribly reviewed show?
Yeah, they turned it into a television show.
And nobody liked it.
I didn't even watch it. Like, I liked Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a minute. And then, like, I started to not enjoy it, and I just stopped watching. I think that's something else I kind of wanted. Like, I want Coulson. Like, I always thought that the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show was good, but I thought that it was at its strongest when it coincided with the cinematic universe. Did you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all?
No, I watched the first episode and loved it.
Okay, so...
Don't ask why I didn't continue.
So it kind of, like, falls stagnant after that. It gets really and bland. And then it took its mid-season break. And then when it came back the week after Winter Soldier came in. And it tied in with Winter Soldier because, all of the Hydra agents started to come out of hiding. And it turns out, like, half the crew they were working with were secret Hydra agents, and they didn't know it. So that led to, like, the second half of the season. So, like, I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is at its strongest whenever it ties into the cinematic universe. And I really hope that Coulson comes back for something in the Avengers film. Cause I would like to see him get his, plus I like Clark Gregg. I think he's a good actor.
Yeah.
So.
And then also, like, what about the Defenders? Like,
I don't think they're going to bring any of them into the cinematic universe. Although it is referenced in the show quite a bit.
Yeah, they reference the references go up; they don't go down. Like,
right,
the theatrical films do not reference the shows, but the shows. I mean, I've only watched Daredevil and Jessica Jones. I need to really catch up. I love them.
Did you watch both seasons of Daredevil?
No, I watched the first season and half the second season.
Okay. I've seen Daredevil 1 and 2. I think the first season was much better than the second.
Oh, first season was amazing.
Yeah, I really think what makes the first season is Vincent D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk.
Yeah.
Because I don't think I would have been as interested. So what's really funny is my friend and I were actually making fun of Daredevil a week before the show came out. He's like, because I was never a big Daredevil fan. Neither was he. And he said, he's like, yeah, Daredevil's boring to me. I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, why do you say that? And he's like, well, and then he asked me, he goes, well, what's his superpower? I go, he's a blind man who can kind of see. And he's like, yeah, so he's normal. And I never thought of it like that. And I was like, oh, damn. And then obviously, like, I mean, there's more to that. There's more to it. But, man, like, when you think of it in terms like that, you're like, oh, he's a blind man who has the power of sight. So he's normal. And then the show came out next week, and I watched it, and we both absolutely loved it. And we were, you know, eating our words. Jessica Jones was good. I didn't love it, but, you know, it's kind of like season one of Daredevil, where it's like the guy who plays the villain really makes. So David Tennant did a really good job as Kilgrave.
Yeah.
I didn't see Punisher. I haven't seen Jessica Jones. I think Jessica Jones season 2 is out. I haven't seen it. I did see Luke Cage, and the first 7 episodes of Luke Cage is quite possibly the best Marvel television show I've ever seen. And then something happens in episode 8 that just kind of makes you go, but what about these other 7 episodes that you just had? Like, there's this weird tonal shift in between episodes 7 and 8 that should be a tonal shift between a season 1 and a season 2. And it's really weird.
I remember you tweeted it, and the writer.
Yeah. He's like, did you finish the show? Yeah. Did you finish the show? Not yet, sir. Can I talk to you when I come? I have 4 more episodes. Can I talk to you tomorrow? He never responded to me. But I did think that was pretty cool that he, you know, obviously it means that he's protective of his baby. So anyway, I think I got off on a tangent. I don't see any of the Netflix stuff tying in to, or like any of the Defenders showing up to,
the only reason, weird
because I'm pretty sure Doctor Strange was a Defender, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. So was Hulk at one point.
I think so was Beast from the X-Men.
But also a reason I would like for them to tie in, just one reason, is Spider-Man and Daredevil like are really cool together, like in the comics and stuff.
Right, right. Like, wasn't that
they really
wasn't
liked
Frank Miller? Was it? I know Frank Miller did a lot of Daredevil stuff, but I don't know if they did like a Spider-Man Daredevil. Like, they had their own book together at one point in time.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Frank Miller. Like, the only thing I know of Frank Miller is he did the bandana look on Daredevil that
was
the first season.
But I did like that.
Yeah.
Even though Frank Miller's kind of a jerk.
Yes. And the good comic book writers seem to be like that.
Yeah. Not to drastically change the subject, but what did you think about the humor in the movie?
Most of it I really liked.
Go ahead.
There was one thing, and it's not even really humor related, that like when the Guardians of the Galaxy were introduced, they had the song blasting, the Rubber Band Man or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like they were trying too hard for that moment, like to bring the Guardians tone into it. But just for that moment.
It's funny you say that, because critique, for lack of a better phrase, on the humor actually has everything to do with the Guardians of the Galaxy. So, but to kind of like expand on your point, like when you watch the first Guardians film, the soundtrack plays an integral part of Peter Quill's story, but also like the bigger story of him, you know, joining up with the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like it was almost as if every single song was specifically picked for character development in that first soundtrack, right? And it was such a hit because a lot of those songs are awesome. Mm-hmm. Actually all of the songs are really awesome. And then whenever the second Guardians came out, it was like, oh, well, we have to have a cool, quirky soundtrack again. But when you go back and rewatch Guardians 2, there's only like one, maybe two songs that have to do with like the overall narrative of the film. Like obviously the song centers around, or the story centers around the song Brandy, mm-hmm. because that's the song that, you know, his father and his mother fell in love to. And that's like that playing like this whole concept of family. But everything else was, they were just like, they didn't really have any reason to pick the songs.
Or just even have music, like the whole opening scene where Rocket's just setting up speakers.
Oh, to Mr. Blue Sky.
Yeah, from, I mean, it was a great scene. Yeah. It was just like, this is, I don't know if they were like playing with us or what. Like, this is the best explanation we have. We're just going to throw Rocket setting up the sound system.
Right. And also, like, in the second film, whenever Rocket and Yondu decide to start sabotaging whatever I can't remember whatever ship or craft or facility they were in, they just started listening to a song and somebody like mentions, what is this? It's like, I don't know. It was one of Quill's songs.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it didn't have that emotional weight that all the songs had in the first one, which kind of leads, I don't want to say it directly leads this, but like you said, you know, they were playing Rubber Band, that song Rubber Band Man or Rubber Band or whatever it was. And you're right. Like I mean, it was definitely a song from that era, but it was just, well, we need a song from this era because it's the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, it is how they introduced them into the movie. Like, it just came blaring in. Just...
Right.
Literally.
And I think, the humor that didn't land for me was all jokes from the Guardians. Like, the Drax stuff was good, and I think some of the Rocket stuff was good. But specifically the Star-Lord jokes didn't do anything for me. They weren't landing as good as the whole Drax being invisible thing.
Or, that was hilarious.
Right. Or Rocket being the captain of the ship thing. Like,
I really liked Rocket and Thor together.
Right. Rabbit.
But, you saying this just reminded me the whole... Peter Quill doing the deep Thor voice, that wasn't really doing
right
for me, and it worked. Right. It just kept.
And going. I think this has to do with the fact that James Gunn wasn't directing the Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, it was obviously directed by the Russo brothers with input from James Gunn, but I feel like there's this, I don't know, it's. It didn't feel like a Guardians film. It definitely felt like a Marvel film. And I think because it wasn't a standalone Guardians film, that the humor from Quill, like, because didn't he have that line about somebody with a nutsack for a face, or Thanos having a nutsack for a face?
Yeah.
Wasn't that him?
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I chuckled, but it didn't get a huge reaction in the theater whenever I saw it. So, That was like the one, like, if I had to pick one bad thing about this movie, it would be that, like, a lot of the Guardians humor didn't quite land for me. But everybody else's jokes I thought were solid.
Yeah, there was a lot of laugh out loud moments. Peter Dinklage.
Oh man.
Playing a giant.
Yeah. Well, he was still a dwarf. Like, he was a dwarf, but the dwarfs are giant.
Yeah.
So, which I almost feel bad saying out loud, like, Peter Dinklage played a dwarf. Like, wait a minute, can I say that? Is that okay?
Well, I mean, there was another movie where he was mistaken for an elf.
That's fair.
So he's just checking these things off his list, I feel like.
I guess. I mean, He was in an X-Men movie and a Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's movie. True. Josh Brolin.
That's true.
I mean, we haven't seen that movie yet, but he's still in it.
I can't get excited for Deadpool. I know I'm in the minority.
No, me too.
Like, I never jumped on the Deadpool bandwagon.
Josh listening?
No, I think he's in your kitchen. You better watch out.
Josh, cover your ears for this one because, yeah, I enjoyed the first Deadpool movie. I went to go watch it a second time when it came out on video, and I shut it off. I was just like, this isn't for me. I'll probably see the second one just to see the second one, but Deadpool is too much.
I waited for Blu-ray before I even saw Deadpool. And it was one of those things where it's, you know, like whenever you say, I don't really want to see something, but that, you know, another person really likes that one thing, it's almost like you offend them. It's like that Jim Gaffigan joke where it's like, you ever not see someone's favorite movie?
Yes.
Like, that's what I feel whenever I'm like, yeah, I'm not really that big of a Deadpool fan. What? I'm like, ah.
Damn it. Sorry, Josh.
Like, I waited until Blu-ray to watch it. And I enjoyed it and I laughed at it. And I'm sure if I watch it, you know, I felt about that movie the same way I felt about Super Troopers. I really enjoyed the movie, but I'm going to remember all of the jokes.
Yeah.
It could be, I could wait a week or 10 years. The jokes were so memorable that I'm going to remember all of them, and it won't have the same effect on me that I had when I watched it the first time.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
I'm not even sure what the first Deadpool movie was about. his girlfriend got kidnapped. I don't know. The jokes were funny, though.
Right.
But back to Avengers Infinity War, one of the jokes that really made me laugh, and I can't even remember who said it, someone called Thanos Grimace.
Was that not Tony Stark?
I can't remember. I know Tony Stark called the Ma guy. What the hell's his name? Something Ma. The dude with the gross hair.
Yeah, you called him Squidward, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember what his name is.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Tony Stark that said that. Because I don't see that line.
Ebony Ma.
What is it?
Ebony Ma. Tony Stark called him Squidward. If Tony Stark called Thanos Grimace, then he's on top of this reference game.
Because Peter Parker would be too young to understand what the Grimace is.
I feel like a lot of people in the audience were too young to understand the Grimace reference.
Oh, that's another joke I didn't care for. Like, because they recycled the joke from Civil War where it's like, hey, did you ever see that really old movie? And then they just name something from the 80s.
Yeah.
Right? Did you ever see that really old movie, Empire Strikes Back? You ever see that really old movie, Aliens? Like, all right. You got away with it once.
And, like, both movies, like, they're very in the lexicon of things.
Right, right. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure that was Stark that said the Grimace line.
I did like that line.
That was a good one.
Oh, speaking of Spider-Man, Iron Spider suit.
Yes, looked very good.
Yeah.
I was into it. Super into it.
I didn't think it was going to have the legs. I thought it was just going to have the Iron Spider look. And then the legs came out. I was very happy. Okay, let me ask you this.
Okay.
This actually excited me, and I'm usually not into this kind of thing at all. So I saw opening night, the Thursday late night show.
Yeah, that's when I went.
And my theater, there was insane energy in the theater, and there was people cheering at certain parts, full-on applause.
Yes.
I'm not normally into that thing, but in this moment, I was feeling it too.
So, I'm normally not one. I used to, in my teens and 20s, I was very much a gotta see it opening night kind of person. Mm-hmm. And then in my late 20s and early 30s, I kind of just stopped caring. I was like, I'll see it eventually. But lately, and I'll do this only with Marvel and Star Wars films, where I will go out of my way to see it as early as I can, whether that be opening night, like the Thursday prior opening, like I guess they call those the preview nights now, or opening night, because I feel like those movies are the kind of movies you want to see with that crowd.
Yes.
And I think only other people who are super into it will go see it, because they're kind of like me. Like I'm a big anti-spoiler. So I don't want to, and it's not necessarily a fear of missing out type thing. It's I don't want to hear something because I've invested so much into all of these films that I genuinely want the surprise with this one. So I went out of my way. But I always find that whenever I go to specifically Marvel or a Star Wars film, the preview night, the crowd is super into it, which makes me enjoy the movie more.
Yes. I totally agree with that. I'm the same way. It's with Star Wars and Marvel. While you were talking, I was like, is there anything else? It's just so many Star Wars and Marvel movies.
Well, we know it's obviously not anything DC is putting out.
I didn't even see Justice League. Did you?
No.
I almost watched it on a plane. I decided against it.
Did you watch Batman versus Superman?
Twice.
What?
I don't know what happened.
Are you sure? Or was it just so long and boring that it felt like you watched it twice?
No, I watched it twice. It was both times circumstances where I was just like,
Well, I only saw it the one time, but I waited for Blu-ray, and then I picked up a copy of the uncut, because everyone was like, just watch the uncut, it's much better. Which makes that movie a total of 3 hours and 5 minutes.
Oh, no.
And I had to watch that movie in 3 one-hour sittings because it was so boring. Like, that watching that movie was a chore.
I believe it. Watching it twice was a chore. Yes, it was so bad.
Anyway. I don't think there's anything else. Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I ask myself that question every day. Yeah. So, the only Marvel movie I haven't seen on preview opening night was Black Panther. But I did see it within like 2 or 3 days of it coming out, and the theater was still packed, and I still had a great experience. So, you know, I'm officially on board for anything Marvel wants to throw at me. Like, if Marvel said, we're giving you a Squirrel Girl and a Howard the Duck movie, I'd be like, sign me up, because you've never given me a turd yet.
No, like, what is the worst MCU movie? I mean,
maybe Thor 2?
Yeah, my first thought was Thor 2 or Iron Man 2. And both of them, like, still good movies.
Right. Yeah. I need to go. Well, Thor 2 is up next for me and my buddy Tim. So I actually haven't rewatched it since I bought it. And I forgot a little bit about it. I just know that whatever that red matter was became the Infinity Stone.
Yes.
That's all I remember. Christopher Eccleston was the villain.
Really good at getting Doctor Who actors as villains in the MCU.
I feel like they're just acquiring a whole bunch of people from the BBC. I mean, they got Benedict Cumberbatch, they have Martin Freeman, they had Christopher Eccleston,
David Tennant,
Idris Elba.
So, and then like half the cast of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Again, Martin Freeman.
Yep.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Right.
The Red Skull guy we already talked about.
Kind of surprised.
Evangeline Lilly.
Yep. Oh, I forgot that she was in the Hobbit movies.
Yeah, and then Hela.
Well, this was also a coincidence, but what's her face? Liv Tyler played Betsy Ross in Incredible Hulk, which is canon for the Marvel Universe, but it's not 100% a Marvel film. I'm really curious, like, to kind of bring it back around to Hulk, because I forgot we kind of switched subjects, but I'm really curious to see what they'll do with Hulk in the next movie, because he got a lot of screen time in Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a lot of screen time, I thought, for, you know, or a fair amount of screen time in Infinity War. I'm really curious to see what, since we can't get a Hulk movie, I'm kind of curious to see what his arc will end, or how it will end in whatever this next Avengers movie is going to be, or what it's going to be called.
Wait, it was the only time the Hulk appeared in this movie was when he fought Thanos right at the beginning?
Yeah, because remember, he spent the rest of the movie trying to Hulk out, and he couldn't.
Yeah. Oh. It's a ballsy move.
Yeah. Speaking of ballsy moves, let's talk about the absolute ending to this movie where Thanos just walks out of a tent and enjoys a sunrise.
That was emotional.
I knew going in that this was going to be a part one of a two-part Avengers story. Like, I knew that I was just getting half of a story.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that's how it ended, and I knew that there was another one coming, I still felt like I was hit with a brick. Like when that screen cut and it was like the end, I was like, oh shit.
Yeah. Going in, I thought the ending was going to be the snap. Like, I knew there was going to be a snap. There had to be the snap.
Right.
But I thought it was going to be snap, fade to black, credits roll. But no, they took it a step farther. Right. Like, let's just
You had to see everybody die, right? Like, because, again, kind of going back to, like, the emotional stakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and this, I told my buddy who I would see the movie with, do you ever see X-Men Apocalypse?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, right? I'm sorry, I just reminded you of that movie. So my main complaint with X-Men Apocalypse is Apocalypse is essentially, like, aside from Magneto, the big bad of the X-Men universe.
Uh-huh.
Right? This ancient mutant, and he's got, you know, all of this power. And in X-Men Apocalypse, and I understand for any of the listeners that are probably screaming at their podcast machine right now, like, I understand that the X-Men are not part of the MCU. I'm just using this as an example. Is in X-Men Apocalypse, they find out what Apocalypse is planning to do, and they stop him from doing the thing. And then the movie ends, and it puts it in a nice, neat little bow, and everything's back to normal. Mm-hmm. Right? I didn't like that because the villain, I feel like, is only as, like, what's the word I'm looking for? You can only have, I don't want to say you can only have, but I feel like it's much more, the payoff is much more worth it if you have the villain succeed in what they're trying to do, and then you have to pick up the pieces of what the villain did. So if Apocalypse would have succeeded, the X-Men have already been beaten down, then the X-Men would have to rise up to fight an even stronger Apocalypse and then win. Kind of like the same thing with why I think they did, or what I think they did correct with Thanos, is Thanos got all of the Infinity Stones. Like, Thanos won.
Yeah.
Like, it's Thanos' universe. And now, with whatever's going to happen, they have to rise up against a stronger Thanos, which makes the payoff in the long run worthwhile. Or worth more.
In this case, it was a long run. Like, that was a complaint I had about Apocalypse. Like, he is the big baddie. And in the span of one movie, we were introduced to him. He rose up. They defeated him. He's done.
Right.
We were introduced to Thanos in 2012.
Right.
At the end of the first Avengers movie.
Right.
And we're like, who is that? And so, like, and they just bits and pieces here and there. Like, he was in the post-credits scene of Age of Ultron, and we finally got, like, what he was all about in Guardians of the Galaxy, and just dashes of Thanos here and there. And finally, we're just like, yes. And then, like you're saying, he won.
Right.
It was, Marvel played us for the long con on that one.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's,
I mean,
so
I,
worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, and I, like I said, you know, a few minutes ago, it's, I'm already aware that there's going to be a part two, but whenever the movie ended with that hard cut after he sees the sunset, like, I just, like, everything just, like, something dropped in me. Like, my heart just stopped. It's like, oh my God. Because that was a ballsy ending. And I think it paid off very well for them.
And on top of that, what also got me is right after that, when the credits started rolling, no triumphant music. It was just like that slow, solemn piano version of the Avengers theme. He's like, oh shit. Like, that didn't help anything.
Yeah.
The feelings I was feeling. There was no triumph.
Right.
So,
and I mean, I guess that leads us to, speaking of the credits, the after credits, which is the lead into the next movie, which is Captain. Well, the next movie is Ant-Man and Wasp, but there was not a lead in for that. It was the lead in to Captain Marvel,
right?
Because we finally see Nick Fury for the first time since Ultron.
Was he in Civil War? No, he wasn't, was he?
No.
Yeah, it was Ultron.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I know, right?
It was nice seeing him for a second.
Yeah, yeah. And then like he and Maria both actually got the axe. So,
real, yeah. And then, so my question, I don't know anything about Captain Marvel. Like, nothing.
I know her name's Carol Danvers. And I know at one point in the comic book, like, I feel like there was something to do with Rogue from the X-Men. Like, she, like, Rogue got her flight from Captain Marvel because she absorbed her powers too much.
Oh.
But that's like, the only thing from the comic book version of Captain Marvel I remember.
Which, obviously, on, they can't use that.
Yeah. I did go on a reading spree probably about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe 6 or 7 years ago, where the entire Marvel universe started to be called, like, the Dark. Like, there was the Dark Avengers and the Dark X-Men. Mm-hmm. And it was this weird... like Harry Osborn was the leader of the Avengers type deal. And right. So like Marvel used to do these, I don't want to, like, every so few years they would do these big event books. Mm-hmm. Like, and Civil War was one of them. But, but there was like fallout from Civil War that led to another event And in the comic books, at least, there was this really weird turn of events where Harry Osborn became the leader of the Avengers. But he just recruited all these villains, so they were the Dark Avengers, and he was trying to play it straight, to the government he was playing it straight. Instead of Shield, it was they were called Hammer, like yeah. So which anyway, I'm digressing. But Captain Marvel, like I know a little bit about Captain Marvel, but not much. So I'm really curious to see what the film has to show. I know a lot of people, like, with the pictures that were, I don't want to say leaked, but that were released on the internet of her in, like, this black and green suit. Mm-hmm. Everybody was kind of whining, like, her suit's supposed to be red. Like, what does it matter? Who cares?
Yeah, like... I mean, look at half the characters you're watching in this movie, like, or any movie, really. Like, Hawkeye, thank goodness they didn't give him his comic book outfit.
Right, right.
But then, like, in that last scene of Infinity War, on the little pager thing, it was the Captain Marvel colors. It was the blue and the red with the star. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, from my understanding, the Captain Marvel movie takes place in the 80s.
Does it?
Yeah.
I've purposefully been not reading up on it, because I wanna have the genuine like surprise whenever.
Oh well, surprise! I'm sure that was gonna be made known in the first trailer.
Well, all right. Well.
Or I might be wrong. It's just something I read on the internet. But how powerful is she? Like,
apparently I don't know.
Nick Fury's last line of hope was to page her.
Yeah.
And where's she been? All right, so let's go back to this pin that we were putting in earlier. Is
okay.
Now what?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, there's some people I've been talking to on the internet that have said that, like, it's the... They think that the emotional stakes are now lowered for the next film because you know what's going to happen. Like, you, because of every, like, certain people's contracts are up, you know who's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, obviously I think Captain America is going to die in the next one because Chris Evans hasn't signed on for another Marvel movie.
Yeah.
There's like a few other people like that. I think the three, with the Guardians of the Galaxy aside, because they're doing another Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the three that are safe are Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, and Black Panther.
Yeah.
Everyone else, everyone else, I genuinely don't know. But like, I guess go ahead. What are you going
to
say?
I was just going to say, I want Thor to survive, but like you, I just don't know.
Right, right. Well, I mean, somebody has to lead Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
So let me take this one step further. It's like, after the next Avengers film, what happens?
Like, for the MCU?
Yeah.
I have that answer.
Okay.
From what I've read is Kevin Feige. Feige. Basically, they're going to take it into space. Like, they're really going to expand out and away from Earth, which they've successfully done with, like, Ragnarok and Guardians of the Galaxy and now this movie.
Huh. Interesting. You know what first comes to mind when you say that?
What?
Secret Wars.
What's Secret Wars? I've heard
Secret Wars was, like, a huge Marvel crossover book in the 80s. Like, it was kind of a big deal. I never read it, but, like, everybody was involved.
Oh.
Yeah, like everybody. Like, I'm pretty sure it was just about everybody.
Huh. I mean,
which would make sense, because if you think, you know, the Fox merger deal that Disney is doing,
yeah,
won't be finalized until next year. And in the meantime, I think they still have like one or two X-Men related movies coming out, but that's still under Fox. That's not under the MCU. I think what'll happen is, once the Fox merger is finalized, we'll be starting to wrap up the last 10 or 11 years of Marvel films, and people like the Fantastic Four and X-Men will all be under the Marvel canon now. Like, Disney will be able to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if we'll start to see Fantastic Four characters pop up. We'll see Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman, and or, you know, we'll probably get a soft reboot of the X-Men if they want to go that scale with it. I think Secret Wars is an option.
It makes sense, because you gotta go big.
Right. Well, I mean, you gotta go bigger than what you're going now, right?
Yeah, and like, going big in this one, they just broke the all-time opening weekend record.
Right.
It obviously works. They know what they're doing. And they did it well. But backing up a little bit before that, like, for the next movie, how do they undo this?
But you don't want to undo it, though, because if you undo it, that means everything, like, if you can't, like, if you just get the Infinity Stones and you reboot the universe, that means everything meant nothing.
Yeah. Someone has to stay dead.
Right. And I mean, pretty sure it's going to be Cap. I think Cap's going to be the one that pulls at the heartstrings the most. So I think that's my pick. That's my main pick.
Yeah, he's very likable. Like, everyone always roots for Cap. Mm-hmm. He's got to go. But a rumor I read, because it happens in the comics, is that Nebula is actually the one to get the gauntlet.
Interesting.
But that was in the comic. It's a completely different storyline from where they just left off on this one.
Right.
Like, her torture scene was from the comic. But that's about it. Like, all the rumors I've heard is just like, well, this happened in the comics. How, maybe they could do this? I don't know. A lot of stuff happens in the comics, though, that nothing happens in the movies. If that makes any sense, you know?
Huh. Yeah. I genuinely don't know. I'm anxiously awaiting the next Avengers movie, I can tell you that.
I can't believe we have to wait an entire year.
You say that, but it'll be here pretty quick.
Yeah. I remember waiting for this one, and that went by real fast.
Right, right. So, I mean, it also didn't hurt that we had two other Marvel films coming out in between these types. Like, you know, between Civil War, we had Doctor Strange and another Guardians movie. And then we had Thor Ragnarok.
And Spider-Man.
Right. So, but we're only getting two. We're getting Ant-Man and Wasp and then Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm. And, so, did you see the trailer for Ant-Man and Wasp that came out today?
Yes, it was very good.
Yeah, it looks so cool. I like it
a lot.
I love, like, Paul Rudd was such a great choice for that. I really hope Ant-Man shows up in an Avengers 4.
I think he will. Like, he has to.
Yeah. I loved him in Civil War.
Yeah. Like,
in this trailer, the new Ant-Man trailer that just came out today, like, the scene where he's turning into Giant Man in the water coming above that ferry boat.
Yeah, 65 feet.
Stupid Paul Rudd laugh, like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's just so good. Like, who of us wouldn't do that?
Right.
So, I don't know. I think it's awesome that he's being included in this, and I hope, like hell, he's in Avengers 4. And that was something that was funny about all the marketing for this one, Infinity War. Everyone's like, where's Hawkeye? Where's Ant-Man? They're not on the poster. They're not on the trailer. Well, they're not in the movie.
Right. But I do remember, like, the Russos saying something about Hawkeye being really important to the fate of the Avengers, which is, I mean, we'll see it in the fourth one, so.
I think you're onto something, though, with that whole West Coast Avengers thing, especially with Hawkeye being the founder of it.
Right.
And he was a really important role in Age of Ultron. Like, Hawkeye is this important guy that no one really thinks about.
Right. Well, because the first movie treated him like, it was like a throwaway thing, right?
Well, he was introduced in the first Thor.
Yeah, he was.
And yeah. So he was like a bigger throwaway in that than he was more of a throwaway in the Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Age of Ultron finally came along. You're like, all right, wait, he might be into something. He's really good at what he does.
Yeah. True.
So we hit all my talking. Oh, wait, I had one more talking point.
Okay.
And it was, I just wrote down who was phone for no apparent reason. Just because it makes you laugh.
It does. So tweet at Shayna Do Review, hashtag who was phone.
It's a lot better than this week's episode, hashtag, which was, I'm not even going to repeat it, but it was hashtag put it in Shayna's mouth. And that was yesterday. I can't remember why we even said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so listen to the regular Mickey Mutineers episode where we don't talk about Infinity War spoilers. And real quick, I honestly want to see this movie again, like, immediately.
Yeah, I want to go. Maybe I'll go this weekend. I haven't made up my mind yet.
I would love to go this weekend. Can I come with you if you decide?
I mean, that'd be a very long drive to go see a movie.
I got time.
All right. No, I mean, if you leave now.
All right, I'll be there.
You can be here by Friday if you leave now. It's Wednesday.
It's Tuesday.
Well, hold on. In 2 minutes, I'll be in Wednesday in 2 minutes.
Whoa, Jordan in the future.
Whoa, time zones.
Speaking of time, how long have we been talking about this?
I don't know. I think this is probably like a 2-hour episode.
Hey. Thanks for listening to this bonus, very bonus episode.
I feel like we actually got to talk today about this
movie. Hey, half the Mutineers, twice the episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else from you on this?
We're not happy until you're not happy.
Hey, I'm Jake, that's Jordan. As always.
Did you say the other names in your head?
I did, yes.
You know what? Have a good night.
Hey, you too.